This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, or leave a comment on the live stream at on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Meteorologist, coming up in about 15 minutes, a little weather and wine, and she is going to update us on the weather, tell us how much snow we're going to get depending upon where you are in Wisconsin. Again, I've been taking a look at 511wi.gov. That shows you where all the accidents are scattered all over the place. And we're seeing them show up around Madison, Milwaukee, and further to the north and northwest. So be careful if you're heading out on the roadways today. And please keep in mind that no matter how good of a driver you are, and no matter how fabulous your vehicle is, the laws of physics still apply to you. Is that time. I know. It is that time, Greg Bach.
What's that time?
The Civic Media Statewide Text Win Grown-Up Gift List Contest is underway. So here's what you do. Grab your phone because you need the Civic Media app. And if you don't have it, you still have an hour. It's only going to take you a minute. Go to your app store. Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C Media. Download the Civic Media app and text the word SLED. S-L-E-D. SLED is the word for this hour. You can pick up $100 in cash. We play this contest in the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours, either playing for an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. In this case, SLED, S-L-E-D, is the word for $100 in cash. Your next chance to play the contest coming up with Todd Alba at 1 p.m. and then with Dom Salvia at 4 p.m. Text the word SLED right now, S-L-E-D, for your shot at $100 in cash. Everyone, of course, can be in the running for 8 grand prizes. And those will be, the contest wraps up tomorrow. Not much time left. Wow. I know, it went quick, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
So text the word SLED, S-L-E-D. You have until noon. And if you don't have the Civic Media app yet, just go to your app store and download it. It is absolutely free. There's also an option for a bonus entry, Greg.
That's right. You're going to go to your Civic Media app. You're going to enter into the contest, and then we're going to send you a response. Now, do not block us. Do not count us as spam. Don't do those things, because if you do that, you won't get this return response. This return response will ask you to do something very simple. Sign up for our newsletter. Follow Matt and Aaron there on Facebook. Follow Civic Media on social media. Civic Media on social media. That's interesting to say out loud. But you do those things, and you're going to get for this contest cycle one extra vote. It's only once.
Yeah, but only once.
Another chance to get that grand prize or today's prize. Either way, you're entered in twice if you take advantage of this opportunity. Why wouldn't you take advantage?
It's so easy. It's so easy. It absolutely is. Text the word SLED, S-L-E-D, and good luck for that $100. I would love to hear from you if you live in Franklin or Greenfield, Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, or Summers. You are in the news today. Headline reads from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, these Wisconsin cities, including two Milwaukee suburbs, could get new zip codes.
Ooh. Look at you, Summers.
Summers is adorable. Milwaukee suburbs of Franklin and Greenfield are two of 5 Wisconsin communities that can be impacted by a new bill that just passed unanimously in the U.S. House of Representatives that would assign them their own zip codes.
I think that's great. It's fine. I mean, good. I'd love to find out from people from, like, you know, Summers and those areas if it's been a hassle. Like my mother-in-law lives in Mount Pleasant, and a lot of times things just get Racine. And it's still, it's the same zip code. It's her address. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't get lost in the mail. I'm wondering how long will it take people to acclimate to new zip codes if they get them?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So shared zip codes apparently have been a pain for quite a while. Brian Style, who represents the first district, including Franklin, said zip codes play an important role in community identity, and the consequences of inaccurate address listings are a frustration for local officials and residents. I don't doubt that.
I mean, I don't doubt that either, but it's Brian Style. So I'm like, okay, taking a big
grain of salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know who authored the bill? Lauren Bobo Boebert.
Well, because she just moved to a new place in Colorado.
In Colorado.
So she needs a new zip code because she couldn't win in Western Colorado. So she had to move and get elected there. So it probably had something to do with her inelectability in her hometown.
The bill also has 12 co-sponsors, including Wisconsin Republicans, Scott Fitzgerald, and Brian Style.
Wait, Scott Fitzgerald did something?
Scott Fitzgerald did something. And I guess this is what jumped out at me as I was looking at this article earlier this morning. Greenfield Mayor Michael Nitzke said being a pest about the issue paid off. Mayor Nitzke said the passing of this bill has been long overdue and commended the House for passing it, quote, "For some 20 years as mayor, I've been a pest with Congressman Fitzgerald, and being a pest paid off. I'm so grateful to Congressman Fitzgerald for doing this right and remembering us," unquote. My takeaway from that is that if you want your representative to get something done, it's going to take 20 years.
Scott Fitzgerald has been in the Congress since 2020.
Since 2020?
Yes, elected in 2020. Congressman Scott Fitzgerald represents Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District. I'm looking at it right now. He may have been bothering Jim Sensenbrenner as well, but like Scott Fitzgerald, when Scott Fitzgerald, he'll be able to run on this because he does so little and he never has serious competition. He is in treasured land. He can just be like,
as far as his seat being safe. Yeah.
I've authored dozen of bill. Vote for Scott Fitzgerald. You got a zip code. You're welcome.
It still has to pass the Senate. It has passed out of the House.
Yeah.
Franklin Mayor John Nelson said that the confirmed zip code issue is a federal matter tied to the United States postal system. And Franklin currently shares the city of Milwaukee zip codes, which I guess is annoying. And I can see where that would be problematic.
Yeah.
Getting lost, things not getting there on time. But when we're talking about the post office,
oh boy,
there are other potential issues.
Yeah,
beyond just approving a couple new zip codes. Donald Trump, you may not have heard, may try to privatize the postal service.
Yeah. Yeah.
This doesn't always work out well.
No.
Privatizing agencies. And I know the post office has had money problems for a long time. It's a very complicated, from what I understand, it's a very complicated system as far as who pays for what and how this gets paid for. But privatizing the post office, I think, would really hurt rural areas in particular.
Oh, absolutely. Because even before Monsieur Louis Jajoy, they've always been looking for cuts, always looking for cost-saving measures. And part of me wonders is if you don't maybe go in the opposite direction and you say, all right, you know, you have the USPS, you have UPS, you have FedEx, and you have some other services that deliver. Why not try to be in competition with them and give them the money they need to do, like, to be competitive, if you will, instead of constantly trying to find cuts, which is cutting the hours of post offices, closing post offices, and restricting delivery area, or, you know, I mean, this, I've made the comparison before, And I'm going to say it again. In Racine, years ago, they did a study to see if it would be if it would make sense to privatize their garbage collection. And they found out that not only would it be a bad idea, it was going to cost them more money, and there was no guarantee of quality because the people who worked the streets to collect the garbage didn't report to the city. They reported to a boss, and that boss wants to what? Cut costs as much as possible. So privatization is not the answer in every situation. In fact, I'd say a lot of times it's not ever the right answer.
Well, and what sets the post office apart is that it doesn't matter where you live, even if it's inconvenient, they have to deliver to you.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of their mission. And if we privatize it, what makes you think that companies are going to want to go to these remote areas where it's not going to make them any money?
Yeah. They're going to make them come. They're going to make them buy post office boxes and say, hey, you out there in those, you in Butternut, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You now have to go drive 25 minutes east to get your mail because we're not delivering to you anymore because we can't afford that. We don't have the manpower to get all those letters and packages to you. So you got to come to us now. And that's an inconvenience.
Well, and a lot of people get medication through the mail.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So
this is an issue that isn't going to be going away anytime soon. This discussion about privatizing the post office. Donald Trump says he is in favor of it. Of course, he thinks everything should be making money.
He wants Canada to be the 51st state. What could go wrong? What could go wrong, Jane?
Perfectly fine, Greg.
Yes.
It's all going to be perfectly fine. Brittany Merlot is going to be joining us to give us a little update about the weather. Don't forget SLED, S-L-E-D. SLED is this hour's word that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. We have $100 up for grabs this hour. Text the word SLED, S-L-E-D, and good luck. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide, yes, we're global.
Yes.
Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, you can call, you can text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest is underway right now. Grab your phone, get to your Civic Media app, and text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D. Text the word SLED. That's you're in the running then for $100 in cash, nice and handy right before Christmas. And then you'll be in the running as well for one of 8 grand prizes, including a snowblower, going to be handy, robotic vacuums. We have espresso machines and some other lovely, lovely prizes. So text the word SLED right now. You have until noon, S-L-E-D. Text in the word SLED via the Civic Media app. She joins us every week at this time for a little weather and wine. She is in her element. Civic Media meteorologist joining us by phone, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, girl.
Good morning. How are you guys?
How happy are you that we're getting snow?
Oh, so happy that I'm outside standing in it right now in this middle of a winter storm warning. It is beautiful. It's painting the landscape pretty. But of course, those roads, a little slick and slippery. But it's getting worse as we go through the afternoon and into the evening. If you're looking outside thinking, we don't have anything yet, or there just isn't that much just yet, it's still headed our way. That low pressure system is still over towards Minnesota, and it's still going to be headed towards Wisconsin, swiping the southern areas and increasing those winds and bringing us even more.
So let's talk totals, Brittany, about what, depending upon where you are in the state.
Yeah. So, you know, the north is kind of really missing out on this right now. We were supposed to get a bunch more, but I'm sitting here in Wausau right now. Looks like about half an inch on the ground. Our totals, though, were projected to be anywhere from 5 to potentially 8 inches. And I don't think we're going to be close to that 8 inches, but I do think that we could definitely hit 6 inches, about a half a foot through northern central Wisconsin areas. Now, La Crosse has already picked up anywhere from 2 to 5 inches. And it's still coming down for them. So, yes. So that area off to the west and south, I do think they're going to see some of the higher snow totals from this system because it seems like it's sliding further south. So some areas only in a winter weather advisory could total up anywhere from a half a foot. I wouldn't say a foot. That's a little bit too much. But some places by the lake, like Michigan, Lake Superior, the lake effect snow is going to be ramping up, especially this evening and into the overnight. So some of those totals could hit near double digits.
Well, I'm sure the businesses up in those areas are delighted because they just got crushed last year with the lack of snow. So the snowmobilers can get out there and the skiers and all the outdoors folks and go sledding and do all those things. But again, it just makes for really tricky driving. And as you said, Brittany, it's going to be picking up as the day goes on. It sounds like, too, in some areas, this might be hitting, especially during drive time when people are heading home tonight.
Yes, that was my biggest concern with the system was the evening commute, because I knew this morning it was just going to be starting, but it was really ramping up and the wind's increasing. The visibility is going to be dropping. It's going to be dark outside. It's going to be slippery and slick with those rates just increasing. I mean, we could see about a half an inch per hour as we push into the afternoon and evening. So go slow. Take your time. Leave early. Stay away from those plow truck drivers. You know, they need space. They can slide too. You don't want to be close to them.
And also, as we've said before, and now I'm an owner of one of them. If you have four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, that's fine. But that doesn't mean you have to drive top speed limit. Be mindful of those around you, especially smaller cars, especially older drivers. You've got to make sure we're all sharing this road together and driving safely.
Yeah. Today's not the day to tailgate because you want someone to go faster.
Yeah.
Then, you know, and please, can we just be nice to each other today and be careful as we're all still getting acclimated to driving in snow again. We haven't had that much.
No.
Brittany, is this the wet, heavy stuff or is it the light, fluffy stuff that people are going to have to be shoveling?
Well, it depends where you live, right up north. And for most of the state, it's the light, fluffy stuff. And it should stay the light, fluffy stuff for quite a while. But down along the state line and towards Lake Michigan this evening and tomorrow morning, those temperatures are actually warming to near the freezing mark. So that's when it could get the heavier, wet, slushy kind of snow. But again, that's going to be late tonight.
Come on!
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't even win the snowblower in the contest.
I'm up here doing snow angels, and you guys have to take your time shoveling.
Yeah.
Rob from Rob is texting in on the live stream, says, so far in the Tigerton area, 1/4 inch of snow. It's been snowing since 9 a.m., but the light snow, I'm planning to be out plowing after 1 p.m. Stay safe. Give the plow operators room to do their jobs. Hey, yes, absolutely.
Rob from Tigerton, it's your buddy Greg. You want to come down to Kenosha and make some money? How you doing? Make some more money. Hey, buddy.
Well, and to if you are able to, and if you have an elderly relative or an elderly neighbor that you could help out and maybe shovel for them, especially with that heavy, wet snow. Words are hard.
Yes, they are.
Words can be very hard. that heavy wet snow. Give somebody a hand if you can. I'm sure they will be very, very appreciative. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist. Enjoy yourself, lady. I know you love this stuff.
Thank you.
She's making snow angels right now.
You can just hear how happy this just makes her so happy.
She was wearing a snow dress this morning on Pat's show.
A snow dress?
Yep.
Do we have visual evidence of this?
I can try to find some.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
News is coming up next. When we return, we're to talk all things sports with J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Don't forget, the word to text is SLED via the Civic Media app. Text in the word SLED right now, S-L-E-D, up for grabs, $100. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he's passing around. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town, brother. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in the winter wonderland. Oh, walk on. Let's frolic and play the Eskimo way.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest is underway this hour. Text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D, using the Civic Media app. Text the word SLED. We have $100 up for grabs this hour. Your next chance to play will be at 1 p.m. with Todd Alba, either $100 or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. But right now we are playing for $100. Text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D, via the Civic Media app, and good luck. And don't forget, we will wrap up the show as we always do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Hot Doctor edition. Stay tuned for that. He joins us every other Thursday at this time. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe is here. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well. How are you guys? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry absolutely. Christmas.
The Bucks, the champs of the NBA champion. Cup.
Cups yep. and six. Cups and six.
What does this mean?
I think every fan, I think every Bucks fan and maybe even the members of the Bucks themselves are trying to figure that out. It means $500,000 in the pockets of the players. Each player gets a little nice bump, which I realize doesn't necessarily mean anything to the people watching. It's so this is the second year. It's the it's no longer inaugural for the English nerds out there. We're now in an annual process here. What they call the NBA Cup, and it had a sponsor this year. It didn't last year. It's a very fledgling enterprise, and it's this mid-season tournament, kind of an idea borrowed from, I would say, European sports to some degree. You know, you take time out and you build some games into the schedule that are also doubling as sort of preliminary games for this NBA championship. There is a final eight that emerges from group play, then a final four. The Bucks won a couple Tuesdays ago at home to go to Vegas in this sort of final four, and they proceeded to win. They beat the Hawks in the semifinal. They beat the Thunder kind of resoundingly in a very low scoring game. Great defensive performance on Tuesday to become the second annual NBA Cup champions. It is they're going to raise a banner. Like, they've got a game again on Saturday at home. They're going to raise a banner.
Shut up. They are not.
You know, they are prepared to celebrate it. I mean, the whole thing was with confetti and everything. And, you know, it's weird, right? Because it's this brand new thing. It's really hard to get a vibe around it. It's built into the context of a season that also has a championship at the end, which obviously far more people care about. The only thing I could say is that the Super Bowl was once this crazy exhibition, right? Super Bowl I, Super Bowl II, very early stages. People didn't know what to make of it. You know, Super Bowl I was sort of this like kind of crazy idea to bring the AFL and the NFL together. And then likewise, Super Bowl II. Now we recognize it as like the dawn of this amazing thing. I don't know. The NBA Cup will probably never hit that. We're going to need a decade to go by, I think, before we can appreciate it. But hey, it is something to celebrate. The Bucks have turned around their season. This is emblematic of that. And yeah. Banner going to the rafters. I hope it's a weird one. It's a weird thing.
That's awesome. I hope it's a weird one. A few questions. For one thing, what would happen? And I posed this to a friend of mine last night who is a huge Bucks fan, Cups and Six, and I said, what happens if a Giannis or a Dame Lillard or someone of that altitude of talent permanently injures themselves during this non-important moment in basketball? You get a major break, you get a sprain, you get something that takes them out for weeks or the rest of the season, and all for this in-season tournament that has no bearing on anything but their wallets. What happens?
Yeah, I think that is a good question. So all of the tournament games do count as part of their regular season, except for the championship game, which is what you're asking about specifically.
Yeah.
That one is like an extra game. 83rd, the stats don't count. The record doesn't count. And they're playing all out. I mean, you saw the Bucks hold Oklahoma City to under 80 points. That is an incredible achievement. And that's because they were playing extremely hard. Giannis was going at it both ends of the floor. I think he's back in the MVP conversation as a result of how he has played, particularly in this nationally televised game. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It does set up for, you know, an injury. And I think the only, you know, the league will say this is a lesser, but still a championship thing that we're baking into it. So you would want players to be as interested in winning that as they would for the playoffs at the end of the season. Now, the Bucks did not have Chris Middleton play in this game. Chris Middleton, of course, has just come back from injury. I don't know how severe that is, but it's probably a situation where they're like, this game doesn't really count. We are not going to risk it with Chris Middleton. Yeah. I think it is a tough middle ground to figure. I don't know. You're right. If Giannis had gotten hurt, the NBA Cup would be, you know, would be swear words in Milwaukee Bucks vernacular for the rest of our lives, yeah. You know, because that would be such a seemingly meaningless prize to have lost something so valuable. You know, that's a risk that is being taken for sure. And the NBA probably knows that as well. I imagine having it in December certainly gives you a chance to get any injured player back for the big part of the year, which is really April, May, June. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It could be, that would be a tough thing if that happened for the NBA.
Calvin?
Yeah, I guess I had a couple of takeaways. I think the first thing is it proves that especially the game against the Thunder, that they can and are willing to play defense in games that matter.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I also think this kind of quells any nervousness about Giannis and Dame actually being compatible, because they looked great throughout the Cup playing together and with each other. And I also think this doesn't put Giannis back in the MVP conversation. In my opinion, it cements him in the lead of the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a superstar who's on his level defensively, and I think it's clear that he's the heart and soul of the team.
You're absolutely right. It is very comforting on those levels. The fact that their defense can be that level. I said under 80 points, but 81 points, still very, very just incredible. No team ever gets held under 90 points in an NBA game. Very impressive. Giannis as a defender is back to being maybe the best defensive player in the league. And we've seen all year that Giannis and Dame can kind of gel together, have gelled together more this season than in past seasons. This was definitely a sort of recognition of that. It's been a very encouraging 4 weeks for the Milwaukee Bucks on that front already. And he may very well be back out in front. I mean, there was nothing about Giannis as an MVP candidate coming into the NBA Cup portion of the season. He was just, I mean, MVP for the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season is a ridiculous thing to talk about anyway, but of course we do it every year. Every national writer has opinions on this right out of the gate. Giannis was not in that mix. Nikola Jokic, I think, for Denver was kind of seen as a front runner, but now it's different. And I even posted something on Blue Sky, like, here, all, you know, I predicted that if he beats Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of Oklahoma City head-to-head in this game, we're going to see a renewal of the MVP conversation. And there are many national people who are like, Giannis is the leader. Giannis is the guy. Ooh, I think Giannis might be the MVP front runner now. I mean, it all came out of the woodwork when you saw a triple-double from Giannis. Just, it was a tremendous singular performance. I mean, it was really good. So, yeah, I think that might be true. We might see a third MVP season from Giannis here.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. He's a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. Let's move on to the Packers, J.R. Just a win away from clinching a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's frustrating, I think, a little bit because they're 10-4. They have won they've beaten everybody they should, essentially. The three teams that have beaten them are ahead of them in the standings. And yet, I mean, this team could easily win the last three games of the season and be a very, very impressive 13-4 and still be the number six seed out of seven in the NFC playoffs. Now, some of that is just the way the playoffs are structured. Division winners get dibs. So realistically, two of those division winners, because there are four divisions in the NFC, would have lesser records than the Packers. But you would have Philadelphia and Detroit, division champions, who would have better records, and Minnesota, also a wild card team, would also have the fifth seed, still kind of in charge here over the Packers in terms of tiebreakers. Green Bay plays them in a couple weeks. That'll help, but it's not a guarantee, even if the Packers win, that they'll bypass Minnesota. So at some point, you just surrender to the fact that they're going to go on the road just like they did last year in the playoffs. That worked for them. They played very well in Dallas, and pretty well in San Francisco for most of the night. So we're going to have to see the same type of thing. They're going to have to go to Philadelphia and start in someplace either out west, maybe LA, Seattle. They could go to Atlanta to get things going, but they're going to have to win in Philly, win in Detroit. They're going to have to take down some really good teams if they want to get to the Super Bowl. That's just the way it goes. But they are looking the part. Their playoff berth is all but wrapped up. It's going to be clinched with a win, but it's pretty much a done deal.
I just want to go back briefly to Sunday night's game against the Seahawks. Those uniforms were so ugly and distracting. I felt like I was watching a James Cameron film. Like, they put them in those blue suits, yeah, so they can do. Yeah. It was wildly distracting.
I made a very terrible joke that I'm nonetheless proud of, that when Josh Jacobs was running over them, it was like the level of dominance was like whiteout over highlighter, because the Packers were, of course, in their all white uniforms to match. Seattle likes to, you know, there's something about the Pacific Northwest. You've got the University of Oregon with Phil Knight, and every game is a new jersey and neon and weirdness and color. And Seattle has kind of adopted that thing, even though they're quite a bit north. They're doing their highlighter thing. You know what? To each their own. Seattle is very unpleasant in Packers lore, regardless of what they're wearing. So it was certainly a thing.
It was a bright green thing. Yeah. Yes, it was. We got a couple of minutes left to talk about wrapping up college volleyball.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Unfortunately for the Badgers, they were not able to take care of business against Nebraska. I don't mean take care of business. Nebraska was a much better team this year. They played Wisconsin three times. They swept all three matches, 3-0. Nebraska is just sensational. Wisconsin did not play well enough in the Elite Eight to unfortunately even take a set. You know, Wisconsin was maybe a little bit down from where they've been. They graduate a huge senior class, which is going to make things a little challenging going forward. But Wisconsin is kind of now in this place where elite level programs are in college. People transfer in, you know, like they've already announced a couple, one from Miami, she's sensational. You know, Ohio State player who's very good. Like, they're going to get players from other programs that want to be part of a championship caliber program. And that's what we have with Wisconsin right now. They've got a very good setter, Charlie Fearbringer, who is only a freshman this year. She was third team All-American, so they'll have her going forward, presumably. And that's a good place to start. They lost their hitter, Sarah Franklin, two-time Big Ten Player of the Year. First Badger to ever win twice Big Ten Player of the Year. She's unfortunately graduating. They're going to lose a ton of artillery up front. And they're going to have a hard time catching Nebraska in Big Ten play, possibly in tournament play, just like this last year. They haven't run into Nebraska in the regional level before. That's a very, very tough matchup. Nebraska's really humming along right now. I would pick them to win next week, this weekend here, the NCAA Volleyball Championship.
Real briefly, we have a question on the text line. Dave from New Berlin. Ask the sports guru, please, if he thinks the Brewers are going to stink up the NL Central next season.
I do not. You know, I went into last year, I'm like, this is a 500 team. Hopefully. I just didn't see any way. And then, you know what? They proved me so wrong. They pieced it together. I think they're already off to a better offseason start this year than they were last year. So a lot of moves have to happen. But I think the Cubs got a lot better. That's a problem. But you know what? I am allowing the Brewers to just, you know, do your thing. It seems to be working. They're winning 90 games routinely now. You do you, Milwaukee Brewers. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be good enough to go back to the playoffs yet again. It's pretty remarkable what they've built.
And this time, make it to the second round.
That would be nice.
Yeah, they need some breaks. Lucky breaks, I think, at the end of the year.
And real briefly, we got about 90 seconds. We have our internal chat, and Greg wanted to know if you were forced or you lost a bet in order and why you watched the Netflix piece on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, three-part documentary. I tell you, the storytelling was pretty good. Now, Aaron Rodgers, all I could say is, thank you, Netflix, for having a 1.5x speed option on watching your programming so that I can just turn that on and have blah, 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 blah. Yep, there, I watched it. It's like the Matrix. You just have it uploaded. You don't have to dedicate as much time. Thank you for that. I really, really appreciate that. Love it so much. Aaron Rodgers, he's an enigma. Just ask him. He will tell you. The title of the documentary is Enigma, Aaron Rodgers.
J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so very much, J.R. Happy Christmas to you and yours. Yep. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Stay close. We're going to wrap up the show with the This Shouldn't Be a Thing Hot Doctor Edition on the way. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You have about eight minutes left to text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D. Text in the word SLED using the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for a nice $100 bill. And you'll be in the running for one of eight grand prizes as well. This contest only today and tomorrow. And then we're wrapping it up. Someone's going to win a snowblower, which is going to come in really handy. Espresso machine, set of luggage, maybe to escape the snow. Those are just among the grand prizes for our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. Text in the word SLED, S-L-E-D. And good luck. Your next chance in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba. And then later on today in the 4 p.m. hour with Dom Salvia. It is 11:52. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you stumble upon that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Just email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This one from today.com headline reads, Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good? This year's hottest mocktail is Dr. Pepper?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Never in the history. No.
No.
Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible.
Answer there within There you go. I mean, that's not if about to.
If someone has tried this, I would love to know about the hot Dr. Pepper. 855-752-4842. I'm very curious.
And if you have to, for one thing, that's not a mocktail. That's just a soda. That's it. Mocktail, to me, involves ingredients, a little assembly, like a regular cocktail. You're putting something together for someone, like, here's a non-alcoholic old fashioned or whatever you want to call it, but it's has some pomp and circumstance. This is as a picture of a lady pouring a bottle into a tub. I mean, this is not a mocktail. This is dumb. And today, shame on you.
Wow. Violent reaction to the hot doctor edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Author Heather Martin says, I poured it into a microwave safe mug, stirred to banish most of the bubbles, and heated for 1 minute. It smelled very familiar. Warming happily brings the spice flavors to the forefront, but I found the first sip of the hot Dr. Pepper too sweet. I rubbed some lemon peel on the mug lip, and I added a giant squeeze of lemon with a tiny smidge of sea salt to smooth out the sweetness. With those tweaks, Greg Bach, she says this is solidly in drinkable territory. I don't know that that's high praise, putting it in drinkable territory.
That means that, like, that's like saying, like, you're in the vicinity of drinkability, like like this is
almost
the,
okay,
yeah, you're getting the honorable mention of imbibable liquid. Like, it was I think it's funny that she's put all these different things on there. Like, I put a splash of lemon. I did this, Tino, to mask the hot soda taste. Are you out of your mind?
There is no set recipe on social media, but there is one in published form in the Garvin County Extension Homemaker's Recipe Book of 1980.
There's a YouTube commercial with Dick... rock around the Christmas New Year's guy.
Dick Clark?
Thank you. Yeah, Dick Clark. I got to watch this later. I didn't see this part of the story. Yeah, it looks like he's advertising hot pepper too. My goodness.
You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
She says it's still weird, but it doesn't foam so alarmingly. All good comments you want when you're talking about a beverage.
Hey, what do you think of that hot Dr. Pepper? I can drink it if I have to. Do I have to? I have to. Okay, I drink it. Hot Dr. Pepper. Can I put anything in there? Oh, I can put in like a rum? Great.
If you don't want to do eggnog and you don't do milk, Dr. Pepper has recipes for beverages online, including oat milk as an ingredient. If you don't want to find out the hard way which plant milk curdle, maybe opt for an oat nog.
How about
that's
this?
A whole nother This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Let's just opt for no. How about that? You want to drink something hot, hot toddy. Whatever happened to a hot toddy? When I was growing up, it was a hot toddy on a cold night, and that got you, not hot Dr. Pepper. That's called desperation in your freshman year in college.
We will include this article in the show notes in case you would like to try it yourself. Ugh. And send us a review. I'd be really curious to hear.
Send us a review along with a picture of your face or a video of your face once that hot, steamy, bubbly garbage hits your mouth. I want to see that.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little, and you have a chance to share it. Stay here. News coming up next. Be careful on the roads, too. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.